This is GUIDUC, Diver License Rulemaking. This is a briefing and a public hearing. Frank Hawley and Joanna Idy, welcome.
Thank you, Chair Wecker, members of the Commission, and Deputy Director Storr. For the record, I'm Joanna Idy. I'm the Rules Coordinator for the agency and part of the Enforcement Program. And next to me I have...
Thank you, Joanna. My name is Frank Hawley. I work in the Licensing Division. I'm the Budget and Policy Manager. Thank you, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Deputy Director Storr, and your guest, Michaela. I'll be starting off the presentation, giving you a brief overview about what we're going to be talking about today. It's about Second Substitute House Bill 1764. It's a legislation that was sponsored and supported by the industry stakeholders, the divers. We'll talk a little bit about what WDFW's role is in that legislation, and then what DNR's role is in the legislation. And we'll talk a little bit about what priorities are be given, what will be given to GUIDUC divers today. And then we'll get into rule changes, and my subject matter expert and confidant next to me is going to go over all that for you. All right. As I mentioned before, this second substitute House bill was effective July 2013. It was enacted by the 2013 legislature. Part of the legislation is to establish safety certifications for GUIDUC divers. And as part of that safety process, Department of Natural Resources, two industry stakeholders, and a external stakeholder are voting members of this particular committee. And the Department of Fish and Wildlife does have a sits on this committee also as an advisory member along with labor and industry. This committee's responsibility will be setting up safety certifications that will be implemented, and that divers will be required to meet some sort of certification come January 1 of 2015. Department of Fish and Wildlife licensing is basically our role in this piece of legislation. Is beginning January 1 of 2015 is that we will not be issuing any more than 77 diver licenses, GUIDUC dive licenses, to the industry, and we'll start that process with a what the legislation calls right of first refusal. I'm going to simply say it's basically giving priority to a group of GUIDUC divers right now that had a dive license in either 2011, 2012. 2013 or 2014. Those individuals had to apply to the state on or before January 28th, and we do have a list of these individuals that are part of this priority list at this point. And as we move forward, we'll be looking at that list to determine and select the first group of divers. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Joanna.
Thank you, Frank. So as you know, the bill limits the GUIDUC diver licenses to 77 licenses per year that we can issue by the department beginning January 1st, 2015. Just to kind of set up the rules that I'm going to speak about here in a bit more detail, these rules are meant to be more of an administrative process and basically sets up how the department is going to onboard this license limitation. So obviously, we have to make some adjustments given the fact that there are the first right of refusal group, and then we also have to look further moving forward after that limitation occurs after January 1st, 2015, and have a rule that will outline the process that we will use after that date as well. So that's essentially what these do. Yes, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Yes.
How did you land on the magical number of 77?
It's actually dictated by statute, and this is a number that was negotiated with industry and the Department of Natural Resources and the department, and that was actually put into the bill. I'm not quite sure if perhaps Frank might have some more information.
Yeah, and historically we've been issuing roughly somewhere between 64 of these licenses each year, and don't quote me on the exact number, but approximately, and they felt that that the number 77 gave enough buffer that we weren't restricting anybody from entering into the industry. Into the process, yeah.
Yes, it is a fairly odd number, so
yeah.
I understand.
I asked the same question.
Okay, so just to give you a little overview of what we're doing here. So this first rule that we are proposing, this is a new WAC. It's going to be WAC 2-2052-01904. Excuse me for that. And what this WAC details is... it's how we're going to deal with the folks that have the first right of refusal. So it establishes that method and gives the criteria for managing that first right of refusal applicants. And for those first right of refusal applicants, again, they had to identify themselves by January 28th of this past year, so 2014. And then because that was 6 months after the effective date of this particular bill that made the restriction. So that's where that first right of refusal comes from. So we have to then outline the process of how we're going to deal with issuing licenses to qualified members of that group of people, because perhaps not everybody who is within that group might be a qualified individual. They would have to be on a GUI duck harvest track. We'd have to make sure that they satisfied all the requirements that we need in order to have the application. So essentially what this does, so we ask for those to be put into the department by December 1st, 2014. If under 77 license applications are received from the first right of refusal, then we can open and we can issue all of those licenses. So we issue under 77 licenses for those folks. This is where it gets a little wonky. And then we have a process that we are detailing for if there are additional available licenses. So say we issue 70 licenses to qualified applicants prior to, you know, after this December 1st date. But then we still have 7 licenses that are available. Well, we can still receive applications from other people who may not have indicated their first right of refusal, and then move forward in an equitable process for that. If we receive more than, they'll basically be a first-come, first-served basis, and we'll just issue them as they come in. However, we do have a kind of a safety net here for us so that we can ensure a fair process. So say, so we have our 70 licenses we issue. After that date, we get 5 additional applications, okay, and issue each one of those. Then on one particular day after that, we get 3 applications. Obviously, we cannot fill 3 of those if they are all qualified. So then we will do a random selected drawing. So it'll basically, those 3 will go into a hat, and then we'll just pick out the remaining 2 licenses that we have at that point. So that's what this WAC change does. I'm considering inserting a sunset provision, if you will. I don't know if you're familiar with those in the legislative process, but that would make this basically become ineffective after January 1st, 2015, because it will no longer be necessary. We can also just repeal it, and that was obviously what we were going to do anyway. So you'll see us back here again to just repeal this particular section. The other section we have is, so this is another new WAC, and this is WAC 2052-01905. It establishes the more permanent process that we will use after January 1st, 2015. And essentially, this follows a very similar construct to what the previous WAC I explained will do, just without that first right of refusal stuff. So there still will be the option to deal with the situation in which we receive more applicants than we have licenses to issue. We would still have that option to do a drawing to ensure the equitable process. This would just be something that would carry on into perpetuity until such time as it's maybe no longer needed. I'm not sure. This particular WAC, so we have 2 separate CR-102 filings. The first one, CR-102 filing, has the previous one I talked about. Second one has this one. If the commission would choose to adopt this one, we would have a post-dated effective date for the rule. It would not become effective until January 1st, but it would still be on the books and ready and waiting for us, so we wouldn't have to come back to you again. The last rule that's involved in this, and this does, this one is one that would be effective 31 days after filing a CR-103 after adoption, is 2052-01901. And these changes are meant to be technical. And So in this particular WAC, this is not a new one. This is an amended one. In this particular WAC, it details how the department may react to certain events occurring, i.e., when we can revoke or suspend a license. Okay. Currently, the WAC only says GUI duck license. Well, we have two separate licenses. We have a GUI duck fishery license and we have a GUI duck diver license. So as it stood, it wasn't very clear. So the changes that we put into this was to include both the GUI duck fishery license and the GUI duck diver license. While this change was intended to be technical, recognizing the fact that we have both of those licenses, we are currently looking into the changes you see in your packets, this particular technical change, which is what it was intended to do, to ensure that those changes are in fact technical and don't have unintended consequences, because we've received a couple concerns from industry. We are planning on meeting with industry. I've had several conversations with stakeholders, and we'll get those things ironed out. We just need to take a closer look at the proposed language. Because of those talks that will be continuing to occur, we may have some minor changes to this. It would be very small, and we would certainly brief you on those prior to requesting adoption and the results of our conversations as well. So with that, Frank and I are really happy to answer any questions that you might have. I didn't want to take you through the rule documents. I figured it'd probably be a lot easier to do this, but they essentially go through this exactly how I explained it. We do define what a qualifying applicant is, so it's very clear to the person what they need to do in order to be considered for a GUI duck diver license. So if you have any questions, please let us know.
Questions? Commissioner Kehoe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I'm not familiar with the license structure for GUI ducks. So are they issued on a yearly basis? It's not... I see. So if you don't get one year, that doesn't preclude you from going back and applying again the next year because of numbers, right?
Well, this new legislation would do that, but as part of your question is the GUI duck license is issued for a calendar year, January 1 through a period of time. And in this particular statute, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, Joanna, once you're part of this group, unless there is an opening, then and you'd have to continue to meet the safety certifications that are required in order to get a license again.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Are these licenses transferable then?
No, sir.
No. Okay. Okay. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So besides diving, how else are GUI ducks harvested?
Is this a trick question?
No, honestly.
I'd have to defer that to somebody else.
For commercial harvest of GUI ducks, the commercial harvest is restricted to hand-operated gear. And so pretty much if you're commercially harvesting GUI ducks other than aquaculture, it is basically a dive fishery. Obviously there's other opportunities, but it has to be with... You know, it has to be with hand-operated gear, so either you're diving for them or you're going out and harvesting them from some area if you are able to actually do that. But that's not usually a viable way of going about it. But, yeah, this is mostly a
dive.
Yeah,
a
it's like gear. Sea cucumbers and sea urchins. It's really similar to that.
Okay.
Yeah, good job.
I have dug a GUI duck once. That was plenty.
Yeah. Used to be a New Year's tradition.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. So.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We did call this a hearing on our agenda, although we didn't specify there would be public input. Two people have signed up, so I'll call you up, both of you at the same time. And you have your 3 minutes. Once you hear the beeping noise, your time is up. Sam Swanson and Gordon Baxter. I have Mr. Swanson on top.
Actually, if we could start with Gordon.
Okay.
Alphabetically.
We'll be flexible.
Thank you. My name is Gordon Baxter, and I'm here today representing the Washington Harvesters Association. That's the boat owners who work for the contract holders or the tract holders and in turn employ or subcontract to the divers who Sam Swanson works with and works for and is one. I helped with the legislation. The legislation helped write it, helped negotiate with DNR and then help shepherd it through the legislature to get it passed. I would just add a couple of questions that were asked. The number 77 did come out of negotiations directly with Commissioner Goldmark. In fact, he thought it was a magic number. Made kind of a joke of it. He said, "Let's do 77," and we batted around and decided that was probably a good number because it covers the people that already have licenses and gives us in effect, some wiggle room for new folks coming into the industry, and to renew a license under this plan, a person has to not merely complete the safety program, but they also have to be on a DNR plan of operation to renew a license. So that's a more complete answer to that. You'll be getting from staff a letter that we got from that's addressed to Matt Gehring, Department of Natural Resources. It was drafted, I understand, by Representative Bruce Chandler and then is signed by Representative Brian Blake, Senator Kirk Pearson, and Representative Vincent Byes, saying the penultimate sentence of the very short letter says, "The intent of the legislation was to have a safety training and certification program established with a participation agreement of the industry, not to establish medical requirements. We fear that the amendatory section to 220-520-1901, putting the GUI Duck Diver License into this section, would in fact possibly carry a medical requirement because of the OSHA standards, and we believe that the GUI Duck Diver License should not be in this section, that's inappropriate for a couple of reasons. One, OSHA standards cover employers, not employees. They're directed toward employers, not employees. This would at least theoretically make employees responsible under OSHA, which is not the intent of that legislation. And also, of course, it was the intent of 1764 not to have a medical requirement to get a license, and this could potentially do that. So we think that the department has done a fantastic job on all of these, and we appreciate their positive attitude to work with the industry. Thank you on this. So thank you.
Mr. Swanson.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Sam Swanson. I'm a director of the Harvest Divers Association. We represent 74 of the 77 permit holders, of which I have been one for 21 years. So if you have your GUIDUCK questions, maybe I can answer those for you. We had some initial problems with the rules also, but like Gordon said, the folks at Fish and Wildlife have been very accommodating to working with us. So I don't think we really have any problems as long as we can address the things that they said we could. The gentleman asked if these licenses were transferable. The reason all this came down is the Department of Natural Resources, when we did this legislation, had a problem with permit speculation. They didn't want people just buying permits. That's why this came down. Eventually, we would like to see this license the same as a sea cucumber license or a sea urchin license or a seiner license, just a transferable limited entry license. Most of this won't even affect it anymore. So that's our end goal for this. How we're going to make that happen at this point, we still don't know, but we're working on it. But thanks again to the department, because this 77, we actually happen to have 77 people. I don't know how it came down that we got 77, but that's exactly what it came out to be. And we agree with the department's recommendations for how to reissue the new licenses, if any, are turned back in. So,
great.
Does anybody have any questions, GUI Duck or otherwise, for me?
Sam's, if I may, Sam's an expert in wines as well, so he could tell you what pairs with GUI Duck.
With GUI Ducks?
Yeah, so.
It would have to be a white.
I do love the eastern side of the state also. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that concludes the public hearing on that subject.